one of the interesting parts of being in an Anglican church is the fact that there are a selection of Bible passages, are they decreed or set or suggested for every Sunday, in fact, maybe during the week. And today we've had a couple of those passages read. But there are actually a total of five for this service, I discovered. And a bit of me loves that, because I love the Bible. I love reading the Bible, thinking about it, trying to hear what God's saying to me, to us, through the Bible. But you'll be pleased to know that I'm not planning to give a detailed exposition of all five passages this morning. I did look at them all, and I was excited to see the same God speaking through all the different passages, the different parts of the Bible, the different kinds of writing that we have in the Bible. We see God who mourns the way that his good creation has gone wrong, but a God who is present to bring restoration and new life, and a God who invites us to join in with putting things right. But I guess the headline from today's passage is clear. I am the good shepherd, said in John 10. And the Lord is my shepherd, says Psalm 23, which is also set for today. We're going to sing in a little while. If you want to have Psalm 23 open, it's on page 555 of the Church Bible as well. So, the Lord is my shepherd. And as Richard says, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. And of course, I have to say that it's a privilege to be invited by the Reverend Shepherd to speak with the Shepherd. So, yes, Jane and I and our family, we've been around the Good Shepherd since just before Christmas last year. But there are some people in this church that we've known in different contexts for many years. Some we knew before we were married. Some of these children went to the same school as our adult children came to, and some have been in the same churches as us over the years. And some very special people who've known us all over. And it's been great to start to get to know a few others of you as well. So we thank you for your welcome into the Good Shepherd family as we start to build new relationships here. I think relationships are important. Just over 4 years ago, something happened, didn't it, that made me draw the importance of relationships into sharp focus. We started the COVID pandemic. We were all supposed to stay home. When we did venture out to the shops, we had to observe social distancing, perhaps better called unsocial distancing. For some, it became a very lonely time. Perhaps only able to see one other person, or perhaps no one else. For others, life was very crowded. And two of our children, who were students at the time, came home to strain our Wi-Fi connection with online learning. Two new young children arrived to join our fostering household. And so the three of us were really there. We were seventh in our house through much of lockdown. But by the way, relationships shifted, didn't they? Some were reduced, some were morphed into weekly quizzes and get-togethers on Zoom, and some were intensified. Maybe some more strained. Maybe even our relationship with God was strained because we couldn't gather in the same way to worship. So I was thinking, what do our Bible passages today say about relationships? Our relationship with God, our relationships with each other, our relationship with our environment, maybe even our relationship with ourselves. Our relationship with God. Psalm 23. Opens with that statement about our relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. Whether you've only recently started coming along to a church community or whether you've been in church your whole life, you might well know the opening words of that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The psalm is often used in funeral services and appears in various other places, including as the theme tune for our TV series. I grew up in a Baptist church. This was one of the passages that I knew. I knew then from very young, like some of you I expect. I grew up knowing that Jesus loved me, and I chose at a very young age to love Jesus back and to faint for him. That church, my family life at that church, grew in me the love of the Bible that I still have. And as James put into words for me, introduced me to Jesus as a family friend. We sang songs, including "The Lord is my shepherd," wide is the ocean. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I knew that I was loved by God, and that God's love was so high I couldn't get over it, and so low I couldn't get under it. And the Good Shepherd leads his people by the still waters and green pastures. What could be better than that? But if you know the psalm, or if you've got it open in front of you, you know that just to see that, just to miss part of what the psalm is about. God's heart is to be a good relationship with us, and for us to know God's good provision. But the writer of the psalm also knew that life is not always like that. Verses 4 and 5, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He refers in poetic language to the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, in the other version, and to his enemies. Life does not always work out as we want or as God would have chosen. And there are some really tough times. If you look, you see, the psalm writer's experience is not that God just sorts all those things out and then back to the green pastures. God is with the writer in the presence, in the midst of those things. God isn't just, God is there with us in the darkest valleys. And in the presence of our enemies, God isn't just there. He sets a banquet out. It's a celebration in the presence of the enemies. What are the next four? Darkest valleys and enemies in you. Whatever they are, this psalm and the words of Jesus and the rest of the Bible assure us that God is present with us in them. Some of us will explore through next. I am the good shepherd, declares Jesus in John's Gospel, as we heard, picking up the shepherd language from the psalm. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. John's first letter later in the Bible says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus' death was the ultimate expression of love. Jesus' death and resurrection achieved ultimate victory over everything that is opposed to God, what the Bible calls sin and death. And Jesus' resurrection, as we celebrate at Easter, saves us from what is wrong with us and with the world, and is able to restore those relationships. We don't see that perfectly now, but we know that the shepherd who walks with us through the tough times, and we have the hope and the promise that all will be working again in the new creation. We'll never get into Revelations, we won't go there. And then our relationships are damaged, and Jesus' desire is to restore them, starting with God and with shepherd. What about the relationships with one another? Jesus is concerned about those as well. When I started to look at the passages for this morning, that opening of Psalm 23 then sort of triggered another question in my mind. The Lord is my shepherd, but whose shepherd am I? Whose shepherd are you? About 20 years ago, it was the last time we joined churches, and we joined Catholic Community Church. And several former members of CCC are here now. And they won't remember the question that one of the first leaders of that church used to ask us. Who have you got spiritual ambition for? Who are you stirring on? Who are you getting alongside? Because within the church community, we're called to look out for each other, to care for each other's needs, to spur each other on in our walk with Jesus. So who are you doing that for? As we, as I just said, 1 John in the letter says that as an expression of love, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. It doesn't stop there. It carries straight on with a will to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Why would Jesus do that? We are called into a community of mutual support where we bring our gifts to serve each other, to give ourselves, to give our lives to each other and to serve God together. The same letter continues, let's not love with words or of speech, but in actions. And truth, our actions are important. How do we take steps to build a relationship with one another, to build each other up? How do we actively choose to do that? Our passage from Acts this morning relates to how Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, was becoming a leader in the early church. He was called to account one day for his actions in showing Jesus' love to someone he met at the temple each day. That man being lame from birth and being reduced to begging for money, he was carried to the temple each day by his friends. Peter and John, who was another disciple, they saw him. They said, "We haven't got money for you. But they said, we can give you healing, we can give you agency, we can give you standing in society again, all in the name of Jesus." And they healed him. In the words of the song we sang many years ago, I was preaching in beach missions, he went walking. The religious authorities weren't happy about that. They demanded an explanation from Peter and John. Peter responded, "But not a little irony, I feel. If we are being called to account, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness, shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you." Acts has got many stories of the early followers of Jesus acting to bring good to people around them and to share that Jesus had changed their lives. God's desire is to restore our relationships with one another, enabling us to live out the Bible's commands to love God and love others. Those we think of as in the church, those we think of as outside the church, in our actions as well as our words. Our relationship with creation. The other passage, surprisingly, that was suggested for this morning, is the story of the great flood from Genesis. Noah's Ark, the animals, which we're not going to really look at all, but I think it shows that God's resetting of humanity's relationship to creation, which had gone wrong because of humanity's violence after the good start in creation. But I'll get back to the future. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. There's one more relationship that God wants to put right. Your relationship with yourself. My relationship with myself. God wants to refresh how we see ourselves. We see ourselves as loved by God and part of God's future creation. No, we're a fostering household, and Jane and I are foster carers. I was at a fostering conference on Friday. We were reminded there that to care well for children, we need to be a consistent, secure place where we can hold those big emotions and feelings that can affect children, big children. And to be able to do that for someone else, we have to be able to handle our own big emotions and understand where they come. That's true in a wider way as well. We all need to get strength with ourselves, which is what God wants for us to do. He wants for us to. He wants to restore my soul. He restores my soul. He restores your soul. Maybe through time and conversations with a trusted friend or counselor or spiritual advisor, which it mentioned last week. God is the ultimate, consistent, secure place. Where we can take those big emotions and feelings and experiences that are too much for us to handle. He is the good shepherd who in Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. So what's God putting a finger on for you at the moment? Is God inviting you to explore a deeper relationship to Jesus by the Holy Spirit? Make time to pray, meditate, listen to God, read the Bible, spending time. Is God nudging you to grow in your relationships with other people? Neighbours in your street, people you know at work, even people here at church. Make it time for a phone call, or a message, or a coffee, or a preferred beverage. God pointing towards your relationship with creation? What is happening? Or is God saying, see yourself as I see you, loved and worth giving my life for? You need your soul restored, your relationship with yourself restored. These are all the expressions about all to be sheep. Seek to follow the good shepherd who lays down his life